والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. If I asked you to make a list of things that are good in this country that we call home, if I asked you to make a list of things that are good in Canada versus most other places in the world, there's a pretty good chance that this country would have a longer list. Alhamdulillah, we are blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to live in a land that provides safety. Indeed, many Muslims and others from areas of war and conflict and poverty have been welcomed to this land. Alhamdulillah, we enjoy tremendous religious freedoms, even unlike some Muslim majority countries. Alhamdulillah, we are able to establish masajid and Islamic education, we are able to give da'wah, we are able to dress as we like, and so on, alhamdulillah. Of course, then there are opportunities for work and education, and living a fairly peaceful and comfortable life, more than most other places, alhamdulillah. And to be frank, that's why most of us, or our parents and grandparents, chose to come here. So my brothers and sisters, first and foremost, we must always be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these great blessings that many people around the world, including many of our brothers and sisters, are deprived of. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for them and to count us from amongst the grateful. Ameen. If the brothers, I can please ask you to come forward and fill in all the gaps. Today is a PD day. We will have a larger crowd with younger children especially. And it is hot outside, so we like to fit in as many people inside as possible. And hopefully we can get this place cooled up a bit as well, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairah. So first and foremost, we must be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. And if we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He tells us in the Qur'an, then inshaAllah He will increase His blessings upon us. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. This is a key secret that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shared with us. That if you are grateful, I will increase the blessings upon you, inshaAllah. Secondly, we should also be thankful to the people who have a part in delivering these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, they come from Allah azza wa jal, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses people who are going to be means for delivering these blessings in this world. So we should always be thankful to the people as well, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, as we know, لَا يَشْكُرُ اللَّهَ مَنْ لَا يَشْكُرُ النَّاسِ, that whoever does not thank people has not thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So part of our gratefulness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of course to show gratefulness to Allah azza wa jalla, but also then to give thanks to those who do good. However, my brothers and sisters and my young friends, these benefits that we have discussed also come with some challenges. And this reminds us that no place on earth is going to be perfect, because it is not Jannah. This dunya is not Jannah. And only Jannah will be perfect without any problems. Right? As long as we are in this world, it is a place of challenges and struggles, regardless of where we are, some more, some less, some in different ways. But there will always be challenges and struggles, because it is not Jannah. And we are dealing with human beings who are not angels. And human beings by nature are imperfect. So there are always going to be challenges and struggles, and only Jannah is perfect. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst the people of Jannah. Ameen. Now, one of the challenges that we face, my brothers and sisters, is with regards to our deen. Because the laws and the culture of this land are not based upon the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are a number of activities and beliefs that are seen as being okay and are even promoted, even though they have been prohibited by Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I'll give you some examples very quickly. So, for example, the consumption of alcohol, the drinking of alcohol and the consumption of drugs, and gambling. All of these things are clearly haram according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفَعِهِمَا. That they ask you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about intoxicants and gambling, say that there is great evil in both, as well as some benefit for people. But the evil outweighs the benefit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear that yes, there are some benefits, perhaps perceived or real, in alcohol, in intoxicants and in gambling, but the evil inside of them is much greater. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has categorically made these things haram. Yet we know that alcohol is drunk in large quantities, it is sold, it is consumed, it is celebrated, it is part of the culture. Drugs have become legalized and are becoming more and more legalized. And gambling is done openly. Any store you go to, you see that there's lottery and there's casinos around and people are engaging in gambling. That's one example, or a few examples. Also, Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have given us dress codes and instructed us to lower our gaze so that we don't look at that which is prohibited. Yet we find that here, of course, there is almost no dress code. And it is almost unavoidable to see something which is haram, especially in the summertime. But remember that the Prophet ﷺ has told us that the first unintentional gaze or look is forgiven. Even though it is prohibited, if someone mistakenly sees something which is haram and they were not intending to, and they don't take any enjoyment in it, and they turn away immediately, then the first glance is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, because it was unintentional and you did not have control over it. We are accountable for that which we do intentionally and that we do because we have a choice. Okay. Another example, we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden pork. Clearly, it is sold, it is eaten in great quantities. You go to many restaurants, you will try to order something which is halal, but there will also be pork being, processed or being cooked in the same restaurant. Right? We know that riba, which is the trade of money for money, is categorically haram. But the entire economy is based on riba, and it is nearly impossible to do business without it. We know that living together as a husband and wife do, without being married, is haram. And we know that having such relationship without being married is called zina and is a major sin in Islam. Yet, it is something which is very common here. We also know that living together as married couples do, for men with men, and for woman with woman, is categorically haram. And to have such relationships is forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet it is legal and it is promoted. The Quran tells us about the people of Prophet Lut alayhi salam, and they were told very clearly, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ شَهْوَةً مِّن دُونِ النِّسَاءِ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ. That you come to men with lust instead of women, you are certainly transgressors. So the reason was very clearly given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, أَتَأْتُونَ الذُّكْرَانَ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. That why do you lust after fellow men out of all the creatures of the universe? وَتَذَرُونَ مَا خَلَقَ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ عَادُونَ. Leaving the wives that your Lord has created for you, meaning from the females, and in fact you are a transgressing people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very, very clearly as to what their struggle was, what they were engaged in, and sadly we know that they did not heed the warnings, and a great punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came upon them. Even the wife of Prophet Lut alayhi salam, she's the wife of a prophet, but she was not spared. Why? Because she had supported these individuals, those people, in doing these forbidden acts. Now, it is important to note, my brothers and sisters, and especially for my young friends, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wrong anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most just and most fair. There can be no person, no entity that is more fair and just than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if they were punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we know that they were, it is because they were doing these acts voluntarily when they had the ability and the choice not to do it. And they were given ample warnings, but they did not heed those warnings. And they continued in this path of disobedience, as the people of other prophets did as well in other wrongs, and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to them as well. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has another example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden the changing of His creation. What has He forbidden? He has forbidden the changing of His creation. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a person in a certain way, it is forbidden categorically for them to mutilate themselves and to physically bring changes, or like permanent changes, to their body. Unless, of course, there is a medical abnormality, there is a valid reason. Yet, people make permanent changes to their bodies simply based on their feelings and their desires. And it is also something which is promoted here. So, by now, we have discussed a number of examples of things which are forbidden by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet they are prevalent here. And we know, my brothers and sisters and my young friends, that whatever has been made haram by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever Allah azza wa jal has forbidden as part of His guidance, it is for our own benefit. And it is for the benefit of humanity. Because He subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator, our designer, and He knows us best, even better than we know ourselves. So if we follow the guidance of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we do the things that we are supposed to do, and we avoid the things that we are not supposed to do, in the end, we as individuals, as communities, as societies, as humanity will benefit and will stay away from trouble. And if we engage in these things that we are not supposed to, and if we avoid the things that we are supposed to do, then we are going to harm no one but ourselves as individuals, as families, as communities, as societies, and as humanity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and forgive us all. Now, indeed, my brothers and sisters, many people are tempted to commit these actions that we have discussed, that we know are forbidden. But I want you to know that just the thought, or the feeling, the emotion, the temptation to commit these forbidden actions does not make such people as in themselves as being like haram or forbidden or dirty or evil. Because anyone can be tempted by shaitan or by their nafs for various reasons to commit haram and to do things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. So just because someone has these thoughts, and sometimes they could be compulsive thoughts and very strong feelings and emotions, it does not make that person a bad person. As long as those feelings and emotions are coming naturally to them and they're not able to stop them and they have no control over them. It is only when a person does these actions voluntarily and acts upon these temptations and feelings, that is when they will be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these actions. And this is the beautiful part. If they resist the temptation and they don't act upon such thoughts, then inshallah, they will actually be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the great and wonderful mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are not accountable for thoughts and feelings and emotions that come to us naturally. Right? And in fact, in the beginning, it is revealed in the Quran that the Sahaba were told that they are accountable for thoughts and feelings. وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ وَتُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. So they were really concerned. They thought this is so heavy and so difficult for them, that even if a thought comes and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them about the thought over which they have no control. So they went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, with this concern, not complaining, but with this concern, like, Ya Rasulullah, this is too much, we are afraid we won't be able to handle this. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, just accept, say, Sami'na wa ata'na. Don't be like the previous nations, the people of the book who said, Sami'na wa asayna, that we have listened and we do the opposite and we disobey. Just say, Sami'na wa ata'na. As we read it, it's part of the verse, Sami'na wa ata'na, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wusa'aha. Laha ma kasabat wa alayha ma kasabat. So no soul shall bear the burden of that which it does not have authority over. You are only accountable for that which over which you have control, right? To summarize. So it is mercy from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are not held accountable for such thoughts and feelings and emotions. It does not make us a bad person if we face such thoughts and emotions and feelings. And if we are able to resist these urges and we do not act upon them, indeed we will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead. Inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all strength. Ameen. So now we know, my brothers and sisters and my young friends, that there are many benefits and great blessings in our country. But then there's also things which are forbidden that are happening and that are being promoted. So how do we deal with this? How do we reconcile this? So a few points, inshallah. First of all, let us try to do the good that we are able to do. Okay, forget about the haram and the forbidden for a second. Okay, do the good that you are able to do and take full advantage of it. So be regular in coming to the masjid, because alhamdulillah, there's no restriction on you coming to the masjid, especially with your family, as in even some Muslim countries, Muslim majority countries. So come to the masjid regularly, bring your family and become attached to the masjid, as an example. Offer your salah properly, alhamdulillah, there's no restriction upon offering your salah. Wake up at night, offer tahajjud prayer, there's no restriction, no policeman's going to come to your door and say, why are you offering salah at 2 a.m.? Take full advantage of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Study the book of Allah. Study the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dress according to the Islamic guidelines and the Islamic dress code. Offer salah at school, because it is your right and you have been given space and you have been accommodated to do so, alhamdulillah. Establish masajid and establish schools. Study, take advantage of the opportunities and study well, educate yourself. Invite people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wisdom. Maximize the blessings that we have, contribute positively to society. Be someone who comes in this country, who lives in this country, sees the good things and tries to make it better. Not tries to hurt it or just, you know, takes advantages and doesn't give back. So be a positive contributor to society and live your deen to the fullest, as much as it is allowed, to enjoy the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's number one. Number two, protect yourself from doing that which is prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and supporting that which is prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the way, this is also a difference, maybe a nuance that perhaps we don't pick up, that many of our neighbors, our co-workers, our fellow citizens, such great people, mashallah, but they do not see a problem in supporting something even though they don't agree with it. So they won't agree with something, but they'll still support it. They'll still celebrate it. And they won't get why others are not doing the same, right? Maybe it's because, you know, they don't take the religion maybe as seriously or in the same way as we do, as an example, or whatever the reason may be. And not everyone is like that. There are people who take this seriously too. But, you know, this is a general attitude, a general perspective that we find. But we know that for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly, and cooperate in righteousness and piety, but do not cooperate in sin and aggression. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us very clearly, what are the things we can support and what are the things we cannot support. So if someone is doing something good, okay, it doesn't have to be a Muslim, it could be anyone, they're doing something good, we can certainly support it and celebrate them and celebrate their work in a halal way, inshaAllah. But if someone is doing something which has been prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot in good conscience support that and celebrate that which we believe is morally wrong, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited it for us. So for example, as Muslims, we cannot participate or promote an alcohol celebration, as an example, an alcohol festival. You can't go there because you believe it is wrong. It is something which is haram. Or a gambling celebration. You can't go and support it as a Muslim, right? Or a celebration of relationships which are prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't in good conscience go and support it and celebrate it. Now, if we are called upon to support something like this, maybe because people are not aware, they don't know about our position, or they're not aware of this, then we can respectfully say that I don't mean to be rude, with a smile. I don't mean to be rude or disrespectful or hateful, but I am sorry, I cannot support or celebrate the celebration due to my faith. I'm sorry about that. I don't mean to be hateful or disrespectful or rude, but I cannot participate in this due to my beliefs and due to my values. So that's number two. Number three, my brothers and sisters, my young friends, understand that many people who are doing haram, doing the things which are forbidden, they don't know any better. Or they have been tempted by shaitan and have fallen into his trap. Right? And that is his mission. إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, He only incites you to commit evil and indecency and to claim against Allah what you do not know. So this is part of shaitan's job, to try to distract people and try to get them entangled in and get them to enjoy things which are evil and indecent. So we detest the sin, the action. Why? Because it is disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we should not hate them as individuals. There's a difference between the two. The action is bad, 100%. But we do not hate the individuals. Do not be rude and do not be mean. Do not be unjust to people who are engaged in such activities. Because what we want most is for the person to be saved from shaitan and from that which is bad for them. That is what we want. So the issue is not with the person in and of themselves, but it is with the action that they are doing. So bullying or spreading hate against people is wrong and is harmful. And it does not help in stopping the haram, especially if they are already struggling with such thoughts and feelings. And there's a good chance it will actually lead to a person doing even more. Okay? So bullying and spreading hatred is wrong and it will not get us anywhere. It will not bring about any positivity. Being kind and offering guidance. So kind and offering guidance is better instead. Number four, we invite to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wisdom. اُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom. So if we decide to talk about such matters, we must do so wisely, without getting angry, and in a way that makes sense to the person that we are speaking to, that makes sense to the listener. If we do not feel confident in doing so, then we should learn from those who know until we feel confident, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. Number five, my brothers and sisters, my young friends, finally, know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that a time will come when it will be very difficult to follow the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His guidance properly. This has been prophesied. We know that a time will come when it will be very difficult. But there will be a huge reward for those who try to do so as much as possible. See, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that يَأْتِيَ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ أَصَّابِرُ فِيهِمْ عَلَى دِينِهِ كَالْقَابِضِ عَلَى الْجَمْرِ That there shall come upon the people a time in which the one who is patient upon his religion will be like the one who is holding on to burning charcoal. The one who is patient upon his religion will be like the one holding on to burning charcoal. That is how difficult it is going to be, as an example. It's not easy. If you go, or if you have a barbecue or something, you know, you pick up a charcoal that's hot, don't do it. It's going to burn your hand, right? You see how difficult that is. So there will come a day, a time, when following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become difficult like that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَىٰ That Islam began as something strange, and it will return to being something strange. So blessed are the strangers. Meaning that when Islam first came, it seemed very strange to people. The people of Mecca, they thought it was very, very strange and very odd, because they were so used to evil and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then as Islam spread and people accepted Islam, it became normal and became accepted. But it will go back to being something strange once again due to the great amount of evil and misguidance. So give good news, give glad tidings to the strangers, meaning the Muslims who continue to stand firm and they continue to try to live by the guidance of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some of the muhaddithun, the scholars of hadith, they interpret this good news as good news of Jannah, inshallah. Also know that the more difficult something is, the more difficult it is to do something good, then the greater the reward, inshallah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we actually have an opportunity here to maximize our rewards by trying to stay firm upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah azza wa jal to bless this land with more goodness, to protect it and all of us and our future generations from all types of haram and misguidance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a means of spreading goodness and khair and kindness and guidance here and everywhere we go. آمين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. We'll take a break.